still time here for me to screw up, but I appreciate it. Now, I'd like to thank you all for welcoming me home and whatnot, and allowing me all the opportunities to preach, and the elders for letting me preach, and Joe for the opportunity. It's truly a life-changing thing, and I really appreciate it. I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about brushing and flossing. And you might be thinking right now, how in the world does this apply spiritually? But I promise there are some spiritual applications that can be made through this. Ultimately, I guess I'd like to thank my dentist for this lesson that he inspired me with. So that's what I'd like to spend a little bit of time with tonight. So obviously, we know what brushing and flossing is. This can be applied not only to brushing teeth, but that's how I'm going to use it tonight. But obviously, we know what brushing is, right? It's to skip over things, to polish, to clean, right? We brush our tire rims. You brush a lot of things. You brush hair, right? But what I'd like to talk about is the differences between brushing and flossing, if there is a difference. And there is. That's what you'll find. There is a difference. We know that brushing is to wipe, right, to clean, that type of thing. Well, flossing is important for cleaning too, but it's different. When we floss, we're getting in between something, right? We're getting places where people can't see very well, right? Where brushing, we're taking care of a larger area. But flossing, you get in places where you can't see it. They're harder to get to, essentially, right? With brushing, you're using broad scrubs, you know, broad strokes to get in and out with your teeth. You know what I'm saying? And with flossing, you're taking your time using deliberate actions in one crevice at a time between the teeth, right? So ultimately, we see here that there is a difference. At least I hope you can see the difference here. Flossing is a deliberate action, right? It's in between, it goes slower, that type of thing. Or brushing is just a little more general. So I got this from the Waterpik Oral Health website. It's just a pretty basic statement. Toothbrushes are designed to clean the visible tooth surfaces of your mouth. That's what I'm trying to get at. Right? When you brush your teeth, you're getting the visible places, everything that most people can see. That sounds like it should be enough, but there's more to the story. Gum disease starts in between your teeth. That's where flossing comes in, where a toothbrush cannot clean. Not only that, most of us think we brush thoroughly, but most people only do a fair job brushing our teeth. Now, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. The most important part of this little paragraph is toothbrush, the first sentence. Toothbrushes are designed to clean the visible spots of your teeth. Right? We can tell from each other if we're brushing our teeth or not just by the smell of their breath and by the look of their teeth, right? This is from First Choice Dental, just another dental website that I found. And I'd like to go down a little bit to like the midsection here. They're just talking about what happens if you do not floss. So we all know what flossing is. This is what happens if you don't floss. This puts you at a risk for developing an infection and possibly a disease that structures in your mouth in your support of your teeth. Not flossing leaves you vulnerable to gum infection, which can lead to gum disease, right? So there are more benefits to flossing than we think of. And eventually can cause tooth loss. And this last sentence is key. The initial signs of gum infection can be easy to miss because there's no pain or vital signs of gum or tooth distress, right? Like I said, we know whether or not each of us here are brushing our teeth, or we should be able to tell from their breath, from their look of their teeth, right? If they're clean or not. We know that. But we don't know if each other are flossing. I'm not going to get super close to Joe and say, yeah, you did a good job flossing today. That's just not how I roll, right? With flossing, we can't tell if each other are doing that, right? I can't tell if some of you here have some gum disease because you haven't been flossing, right? I can tell, wow, yeah, your teeth look good from brushing, good job. But I can't tell if you're flossing. I can't tell that. No one can. Right, that's really hard because flossing, like I said, it's in between the teeth. It's something that you can't just pick up out of the blue, right? So I'd like to talk for just a second about my recent dentist appointment. What inspired this wonderful lesson that I'm preparing? So I walked into the dentist, did all my stuff, wrote down my name, address, all that stuff. Went back, and the dental hygienist, she said, "Okay, open up real quick." I did that. She took a few X-rays. She said, "Tanner, you got beautiful teeth. I'm proud of you. You know, this cleaning shouldn't take long. I was just going in for my 6-month cleaning type of thing. Okay? I didn't expect any bad results to come, especially after she said this. Good job. Your teeth look fine. This won't take long. You'll be in and out." I said, "Great. Awesome. Cool." A couple minutes later, after she finished, the dentist came in, said the same exact thing. "Wow, Tanner. Great job. You're doing good." That type of stuff. So a few minutes later, I thought, great, my teeth are clean. The dentist came in. Everyone says I'm doing good. I thought, all right, am I good to go? You know, I just about got up and left the building. And he said, whoa, hold on there, cowboy. Where are you going? I said, well, you just told me my teeth look fine. He said, yeah, your teeth are fine, but you have many cavities, right? Your teeth do look fine. I didn't lie. You have beautiful teeth, but you're not flossing. I said, then why would you tell me that I have nice teeth? You just messed me up here, man.
What are you doing?
He said, well, yeah, you have beautiful teeth, but you haven't been flossing. Well, spiritually speaking, we can look fine too from the outside. We can have beautiful teeth, right? But there's a potential that that's not true. And that's why each of us need to examine ourselves. Examine, are we truly flossing? Are we getting those places where no one can see? Do we have cavities? Is there sin in our life that can cause a root canal, right? We got to get to the root of the problem, for better lack of a term, no pun intended, right? And as Joe said, there's some serious teeth in this matter. So ultimately, why is this important? Well, like I just said, with regards to spiritual things, we must be flossing daily. We cannot simply afford to not be flossing each and every day of our life spiritually. And we cannot just be brushing. Now, I'm not condoning brushing. I'm not saying that brushing is bad at all. What I'm just trying to emphasize how important flossing is spiritually and here on earth as well. Because you don't want cavities, I promise. They really stink. So in 2 Corinthians 5:12, it says, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but we give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart." That's kind of the root of what I'm talking about here. The idea that there are people in this world, there are people in life, there are people in God's own church, in the church of Christ, that they boast in their appearance, right? Their teeth, they look great. They're polished, they're nice and shiny, but they're not there in heart. They're not there flossing. In between their teeth, they're not there. And how are we going to be able to see that? That's the idea. We can't. I can't see each and every one of your hearts. Right? That's what we ought to be flossing. Because I can't tell that, and neither one of you can tell that. So let's look at Matthew chapter 23. These will be up here if you don't want to turn there. But Matthew chapter 23, 25 through 28. Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's essentially just calling them hypocrites, because isn't that what we are? If we have nice, clean teeth, what seems like a nice, clean heart, but it truly isn't so, isn't that what we are, just a hypocrite? So in Matthew 23:25 through 28, Jesus says, he condemns them, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of exhortation and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Do you see the analogy here that I'm trying to get at? The dentist, the dental hygienist, they both said, "Yep, your teeth look great." I said, "Okay, cool." And then I thought everything was okay, and obviously it wasn't. I haven't been flossing, right? But I couldn't tell that. I could tell that I hadn't been flossing. I couldn't tell that I had cavities. Spiritually speaking, here it is. Spiritually speaking, the exact same thing is right here. Woe to the scribes and Pharisees, they're hypocrites, right? They cleanse the outside of the temple. Outside, their appearance looks great, right? Men are praising them. But inside, where's their heart? Inside, do they have cavities? Yes, they do. That's what Jesus said anyway. Same thing with the scribes. I'm sorry, same thing here with the Pharisees as well. It's the same exact principle. Right? Verse 28 is exactly key in what I'm trying to get at in this lesson. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, right? Your teeth look great according to men. That what people can see, they look great, but inside it's full of lawlessness and hypocrisy. It's full of cavities, right? And we need to make that right. We need to get rid of those. We need to take care of them before they turn into a root canal, because those are worse than cavities, right? So, and like I said, this is basically what my dentist said to me. You know, you're like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside. Everything looks great, but you're not there on the inside. You're not there in between the cracks where people can't see. You're not there. And that's what I'm trying to get at in this lesson, right? And that's what I was saying. This could be you or I spiritually. And that's why self-examination is so critical and so important. We'll get into it later. Also, look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. A short verse here. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." See, that's what's critical about all of this, right? Whether you floss here on earth and whether you have cavities or not, I hope you don't have cavities and I hope you floss. But taking this spiritually, that because that's where this matters, what do we need to be flossing? Right? This lesson is great and important, but if we can't apply it spiritually, then it doesn't mean anything. So what is it that we ought to be flossing? Well, it tells us here clearly. The heart is what we ought to be flossing. The last part of verse 7. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Right? When we floss here on earth, that's great and everything. We need to be flossing spiritually. We need to be flossing our heart. And that's more important than any cavity we can ever receive or prevention of any cavity we can ever have is our spiritual heart. So look at 1 Peter 3 and 4. It says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden in the person of the heart." There's our word again. "With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Right? For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. My point was in verse 3 and 4. As I pointed out, right, our outward appearance is not what's going to get us into heaven, right? Brushing every day like I had been doing, but not flossing, that didn't save me when it was time for the dentist to check on my teeth. That didn't save me. Brushing was not enough. And it looked fine. That's the thing. It looked fine. I thought I was fine without flossing, but I wasn't. Our outward appearance will not get us into heaven, and that's a fact. You know, our shining white teeth from brushing won't prevent cavities. That's exactly what I'm getting at. So what then will? What can get us into heaven? Well, we're going to be judged according to our heart. And we must be examining, you know, and flossing our hearts daily. That's what I'm trying to get at here. How important it is to be flossing, to be examining ourselves, examining our hearts, our actions, our speech, our conduct. Right? Let's look at Revelation 3, 1 and 6. This is talking about the dead church here. That's the title of this. You know, when I was thinking about different ways this lesson could be applied, these two churches in Revelation that I thought of, I feel like it's a perfect match almost. So let's look here. Keep in mind the idea of flossing and how important it is and what I've talked about. So in Revelation 3, 1 through 6. "You know, the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." And that's the most important part of this whole piece, right? You have a name that you are alive, but inside you're dead, right? Men think you're alive, but you're truly not. I thought I had shiny white teeth, and the dentist did too, until he examined, and it was not. "Be watchful and strengthen the things," verse 2, "be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right? Similarly, we ought to be hearing these words. Right? And what I'm trying to get at in this context, in this verse here, is the very first part of this verse in verse 1. I know your works, that you have a name that you're alive, but you are dead. Right? And like the point I made earlier. And what ought we to do? What was commanded here of the church in Sardis, right? That they were dead. Well, hold fast and repent. That was their call. And similarly, that's our call. When I was, after I had found out I had a bunch of cavities, I said, okay, well, what's the best thing I can do now? The damage has been done. I haven't been doing what I ought to. So what can I do? You know, what's the next step for me? Start flossing, he said. It's so simple. Similarly here, the church that's dead, that was their given name in Sardis, the dead church, right here in this context. Hold fast and repent. That was their call to action. Floss your heart. That's what's being said here, essentially. And then also the next couple of verses after, we're talking about the lukewarm church. We're going to read 14 through 22. It says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness of the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot, I'm sorry, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were hot or cold. Let me try that one more time. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Right? We have a problem here. The church that's lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. What's their call to action? The same thing that the dead church in Sardis was. Be zealous, hold fast, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcome and sat down with my Father and on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Right, same exact principle can be found here. The church here in Laodicea is lukewarm. They're not hot, they're not cold. They're simply lukewarm, as that's their description. Right? And what's their call to action? Right? To be hot, to be cold. No. It's to be zealous, hold fast, and repent. And that's our calling as well today too. Right, so my question is, are we brushing, are we flossing? How can this be so spiritually today? How can we tell if we're brushing or flossing? Well, I have a couple questions for you. Are you, each and every one of us individually, are we at worship service because we feel we must? Are we here because we need to keep our attendance up for the month so that the elders don't come and talk to us? Right? Are we here to be seen by men, to please our parents? That's another one. Or are we here because we're commanded and it's desired? Right? Another point, are we studying the Bible every day because we know we should? Or because we're studying for our personal benefit, our spiritual growth and application to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior? Is that our reason? What is our reason? Right. That's a way we can tell if we're brushing or flossing. Right. If we're coming here to keep our seat warm, my opinion is that we're brushing. We're not flossing. We're not doing the right thing. Right. Because on the outside everything looks fine. I can't tell. No one in here can tell your heart why you're here, but you know why. You know why. But I encourage you to floss. Do it for the right reason. Do all these things for the right reason. Next, are we going through the motions of being a Christian? Right? Are we brushing every day, just doing the same thing, getting in a habit? Are we truly devoted to serving the true and living God? Right? We're told we ought to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. Are we really doing that? Or are we going through the motions? It's so easy to get in a habit every day of brushing your teeth morning and night. But do you take the extra 2 seconds to floss and get where people can't see? That's my question. And that's why I said earlier, self-examination is absolutely critical. And if we aren't willing to examine ourselves each and every day, then it's not going to benefit us either way. Self-examination is absolutely critical here. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 6. It says, examine your... Paul again is talking here to the church at Corinth. He's telling them, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Right? Same exact thing to us here. Right? Examine yourself. Test whether you're in the faith or not. You know whether or not you're brushing. You know whether or not you're flossing. You know whether or not you're here for the right reason. You know whether or not you're studying the Bible for the right reason. Right? You know all those things. And outwardly, we all might be looking like we're doing great, but we might not be. That's what we need to understand. Things can look great. Things can sound great. Things can feel great. But that doesn't mean they're great. I had no idea I had cavities. But I did, because I was lazy. Look at Galatians 6:4. Flip a book over, Galatians 6:4. It says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in any other. Right? Our call for self-examination here again, first in Corinth and in Galatians. Right? Self-examination is absolutely critical. I cannot emphasize that point enough. If we aren't willing to examine ourselves each and every day, how can we grow? How can we know whether or not we have cavities unless we examine ourselves? Right? How do we know we're flossing spiritually? How do we know we're doing the right things? How do we know we don't have any cavities? Right? How do we know that? How do we make ourselves look as good on the outside as we do on the inside? Well, just like my dentist told me, well, what do you need to do? What I told you what to do is floss, and you didn't. Okay, well, what can I do now? Floss. Right? We know the answers. Right? So how do we floss spiritually, and how do we make ourselves look as good on the inside as we do on the outside? How do we cleanse our heart? Well, for Christians, the first step is we need to open our hearts. We need to understand that we might not be right. Right? When the dentist says, okay, open up, now it's time. You've had 6 months to do the right thing. Let's see if you've been doing it. It's the moment of truth. Well, the first thing you got to do is open your mouth. Spiritually speaking, similarly, we need to open our hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. Right? And if we have found that there are cavities, if we find that we have messed up and been lazy, spiritually speaking, we need to repent of that. Just like the churches in Revelation were told, hold fast, be zealous, and repent. That was their call, and similarly, that's our call. Right? And we must use the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 4, chapter 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I don't know what's going on. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And this is a discerner of the thoughts and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing a little bit. The point here being that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's entirely true. And I promise that the Word of God, it's going to hurt way more on Judgment Day than getting a cavity filled or a root canal filled, if that's what we have to do. Right? And the next step, obviously, once we have opened our heart and been receptive and repented of being lazy or not flossing spiritually as we should have, using the Word of God, is to live faithful and to start flossing. Right? That's the key. We got to start at some point. And then for non-Christians, the steps to floss spiritually and to be right spiritually are hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of the sin, right? Confessing, being baptized, and living faithful as well. Right? The call to both Christians and non-Christians are similar in a sense. Both have to live faithful. That's the condition. That's the condition. Well, dentist appointment day is here. You've had 6 months so far to see whether you've been doing it. And now I'm asking you, how have you been? Have you been lazy? Open up. It's time now. So do you want to hear something like so-and-so, XYZ? You've been, you know, your teeth are beautiful, like I heard. Good job brushing, like I heard. I thought everything was okay. But you haven't been flossing like you ought to. You've been lazy. Right? Because of that, you have many cavities. You haven't been removing the issues. And you know, sure they look great, and sure they look great, and they might feel great, and all that. But inside, they're not there. I guarantee that's not what we want to hear on the Day of Judgment. I guarantee it. Or do you want to hear something like this? So-and-so. Great job. Well done. Well done. Your teeth look great. You know, they're as good inside and out. And I can tell you've been flossing. Great job. Because I promise that's what we want to hear. Right? Each day we've got to be flossing our hearts. We have to. Right? This point is so important. And I think it's seen throughout the whole Bible how important cleansing our heart is and how important not being lazy is. How important it is to be flossing each and every day of our life. All right, so that's my question to you is, what do you want the dentist to say in 6 months from now? I'm not saying Judgment Day is going to be in 6 months. I can't predict that. No one can. But what I'm saying is, we have time now, right? I just said your fake dentist appointment was now, and your next one is in 6 months. So what have you been doing for the last 6 months? And where your assessment is now. And you know your own assessment. You know whether you've been flossing spiritually or not. So you know what you've been doing, and you know what you need to do now. And that's my question to you, is what are you going to do? Are you going to floss? Are you going to make corrections? Or are you going to keep flossing if you have been? That's the question. What do we want our dentist, what do we want God to say on our appointment day, on Judgment Day? That's my question to you. So if you need to floss, if I got plenty. So if you have any need, let it be known as we stand and sing.
When you live for Jesus and be always good.